This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the opening half hour of the show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and on every day. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, my two favorites, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. John Parato, who covers the Pirates. Do your in-laws still live in Sunbury, John?
Yeah, so they both passed away, but both my sisters-in-laws and their family live there, and my wife grew up in Sunbury.
Right, so in other words, our ratings have doubled today just by having you on.
Oh, at least. I'm very big in Sunbury, Steve. Huge.
Not really. No surprise to this veteran campaigner. All right, so... John, what I found interesting, and I know Shelton addressed this yesterday a bit, there's been really very little drama with some of the late roster moves. Over the years, like sometimes going into opening day, they've had some dramas who's going to be there. What does that tell us about the lack of drama with this roster coming out of camp?
I think it's a good sign. I think that it was, you know, a good spring, and I think it shows that they have more stability now than they've had in a few years, where in many other years you went to spring training and there were three, four roster spots, or not spots, I should say, jobs in the lineup that were up in the air. And I think this shows they have some stability now. They have some direction. And it's no longer trying to overhaul the roster every year. It is now to more fine-tune things than just have basically an open tryout camp for 6 weeks.
All right. Now, let's get to the actual roster itself. What guys, look, spring training's different. Look, you can sit there and go hit 400 in spring training, and you're 0-for-4 in opening day. Your batting average is zero. Okay, so, but who really had the look in training camp that you liked?
Well, I thought the most encouraging sign, Steve, was O'Neill Cruz, their shortstop, who basically missed the entire season, got hurt in the second weekend of the season last year, broke his ankle, and missed the rest of the year. He hit 7 home runs, and more importantly, he was moving around well. He wasn't playing with a limp. He seemed to have his speed intact after that broken ankle. But, I mean, this is a guy who clearly has big, big, big-time power at 6'7". And, you know, for him to hit 7 home runs, and not only that, but he cut down on his strikeouts. He, you know, I wasn't there the entire spring, but the times I saw him play, he didn't chase at nearly as many bad pitches. And I know talking to Shelton and talking to Andy Haynes, the hitting coach, they also were pleased by how much he has gotten better as being able to lay off the bad pitches. And if he does that, then I really think the sky's the limit, because the only thing holding him back was just the strikeouts, and so many times he got himself out by not swinging at good pitches.
Henry Davis, they really felt like they needed his bat, because his bat had a major league look to it, but they had to play him in the field, especially in right field. He's been behind the plate, and by all signs, John, it appears he has improved back there. What impressed you about his work behind the plate? Because I think the bat's a given.
Well, I think what impressed me most, Steve, is he basically took no off season at all, except for a week between Christmas and New Year's, talking with him. You know, most of the winter he spent in Bradenton at the Pirate City training facility there, worked on his defense, which was really the big question mark, was if he was going to be good enough to stay behind the plate. Also went to Driveline Institute in Seattle, which is a lot of players go to now. They have a lot of computer-based analysis, analytical-type analysis that help players improve. And he really improved his defense. And I know they signed Yasmani Grandal, the veteran catcher, and I think they thought he would be the number one and Davis would either be the number two or go to Indianapolis at AAA for more seasoning. But Davis really seized the job, and I think even though Grandal did get hurt and will begin the year on the injured list, I think Henry Davis would have been the number one catcher regardless. And, you know, I'll give him credit. He's taken a lot of heat from the fans and on social media. A lot of people thought he was a bust because he was the first overall pick in the 2021 draft out of Louisville. But he worked really, really, really hard, and he really deserves the chance to be the starting catcher after all the work he put in and all the improvement he showed.
Do the fans on social media know this is baseball and this isn't the NFL? The first overall pick still takes a couple of years to get there. Do they understand that? I mean, this isn't the NBA, man.
I don't think a lot of them do, unfortunately. I think when you're here in Pittsburgh, it's a football mentality, and everybody wants, like, every game is the most important game of the year, and if you lose a game, it's like you're never going to win another game. And I think that's the mentality that happens sometimes. Yeah, then you put it on social media, Steve, and it amplifies by about 15.
Exactly. Look, there's some great social media that's being used out there, and then there are others where you know it's not a Mensa convention. All right, so defensively, I thought the Pirates were a little bit better defensively last year. Did you see a better defensive team in Florida?
Yeah, I did. You know, I think, I don't think they're going to have Gold Glovers every position, but they do have to keep Brian Hayes at third, who won a Gold Glove. Jared Triolo is making the transition from third, where he was never going to play because of Hayes, over to second base, and he looked very good at second base. I think O'Neill Cruz looked solid at shortstop. The outfield defense looked good in the games I saw, and I don't know if it's going to be one of the top five in major league defenses, but I certainly think it's a lot better than it was 2 years ago, and I think it'll be better than it was last year, too.
How do you view the rotation? I mean, the contract for Keller and so forth, but how do you view the rotation? Then I'll get to Bednar in a moment.
Well, no question, it's a little bit iffy. And, I mean, it could be good if some things work out right, and it could be a real problem if things don't. Mitch Keller, as you alluded to, he's going to be the opening day starter on Thursday in Miami. It'll be his second straight year. He signed a five-year, $77 million contract early in spring training. Then they have a couple of veteran lefties in Martin Perez and Marco Gonzalez, who they signed Perez and traded for Gonzalez in the offseason. Both of them had down years last year, but Perez was really, really sharp this spring. Gonzalez was so-so, but Gonzalez, they both have track records of being pretty good big league pitchers. And then the fourth and fifth spot, it's interesting, Bailey Falter, the former Philly left-hander who they picked up in a trade last July, kind of surprisingly is going to be the fourth starter. He didn't necessarily have a great spring, but they saw enough in him, and he also was out of minor league options, so they would have had to put him through waivers if they tried to send him to the minor leagues. He's at least going to start the year off in the rotation. And then one of the great stories of spring training for the Pirates, Jared Jones, one of their very top prospects, a 22-year-old right-hander. He went the whole spring without giving up an earned run in 16 and a third innings, and he made the team. They told him yesterday he's on the team. He started last year in Altoona at AA, finished at AAA in Indianapolis, had a pretty good year, but he was really, really good this spring, and I saw him pitch a couple times when I was down there, and And they feel he's ready at 22, and it's exciting to see what he can do. He was their second-round pick in 2020, and he clearly has a great arm. He throws hard. He has a good slider. And the times I talked to him, he doesn't seem intimidated at all. He seems like, from a mental standpoint, that he feels like he's ready to face big league hitters, and he's confident he can get them out.
Yeah, that's something. I guess his reaction was priceless when they told him yesterday. You know, this is like one of those rewarding things for any manager to get that kind of reaction out of somebody that made the club. Now Bednar, he is going to stay in Bradenton for a little bit. So where is he right now on the path back?
Well, they don't seem concerned. He missed a lot of the spring. He had the tightness in his lat muscle behind his right shoulder. And he only pitched twice this spring. He pitched last Thursday. Was the first time he pitched in a game situation all spring. I'm a little worried myself. I mean, the guy only logged two innings the entire Grapefruit League season. I don't know how ready he'll be. Like you said, they held him back. He's going to pitch. He pitched. He's going to pitch in an inter-squad minor league type situation, and then they hope to have him Thursday in Miami for the opener. But I'm just a touch concerned. You know, one of the great things that's helped them is he stayed healthy for the 3 years he's been there, and he's turned into one of the best relief pitchers in the major leagues. But there's never really been a health issue outside of a back issue 2 years ago. But as far as an arm problem, he's never had any arm problems. And this is technically not an arm problem, but it is behind his shoulder. And I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence in somebody going into the season only pitched twice all spring. But hopefully I'm wrong, and he'll be okay. But I do think there's cause for a little bit of a red flag there, Steve.
So, John, who closes then until he gets back?
Well, Aroldis Chapman would be most likely the former Reds and Yankees closer. And I know the Pirates surprised a lot of people in the winter when they signed Chapman as a free agent for 1 year and $10.5 million, which is a lot of money by Pirates standards. And, you know, he has over 300 career saves. He's been a six- or seven-time All-Star. And it looks to me, what I saw him in spring training and, you know, with scouts and other people that saw him other times when I wasn't there, is he still throws close to 100 and he's still an effective pitcher. And they feel... The Pirates do, and the scouts I talked to all feel if something would happen to Bednar, that Chapman could still come back, you know, still step into that closer's role and be a very effective pitcher.
Yeah, he can be. He also is the kind of guy that creates managers to find religion. All right, So he does all of that and more. How important? I know the club got off to a good start last year. How important is it going to be for this club to just get out of the gate, get off to a start, maybe build something early?
Yeah, I think the one thing that they did build some momentum last year, and they had the great start, and then they weren't very good for 2.5 months, and then they finished strong. They went 18-13. They basically knocked the Reds and the Cubs out of pennant contention in the last 2 weeks of the season. So, I mean, you'd like to build on that. I don't think they're going to get out of the gate 22-8 like they did last year. But, you know, I think there's optimism there. There's a feeling that there's finally some light at the end of the tunnel in this long rebuilding that they've been under since Ben Cherington became GM after the 2019 season. And I think they need to play good baseball. I mean, I don't think they need to be 22-8, but the worst thing that would happen when you finally build optimism both inside your clubhouse, inside your organization, and with the fans here in the Pittsburgh area is to start off the season like 6-17 or something like that. I think if they can at least keep their heads above water, I think eventually some of the young pitching prospects will come up and stabilize that pitching staff. And I think they have a chance in a division that's really not all that strong to maybe contend if a few things break right. But I do think it, for the morale of everyone, they do need to get off to if not a blazing start, certainly a good start to keep that good feeling going from throughout the end of last season in the winter that things are starting to pick up here.
By the way, what is the thought process in Pittsburgh about the club, about going to the ballpark? I mean, how does the average everyday fan feel about the team?
I think they're encouraged. I think they're a little skeptical because of the owner, Bob Nutting, who historically has just not really tried to win, to be totally honest, and not spent the money necessary. But I do think they look at some of the young players here, and I think the fact that the Pirates brought Andrew McCutchen back last year was definitely a very good PR move. And not only that, but he can still play. He's certainly not an MVP caliber player like he was 10 years ago,
sure,
but he can still play and contribute. And I think that helped a lot. And I do think there is optimism. There seems to be a lot more interest, you know, just, I mean, for take it for what it's worth, but if I'm out like at the bank or the supermarket or something, you know, I run into people, they'll ask me about the Pirates and seem to want to talk about them. And there for a few years, I mean, nobody gave, you know, could care less. So I do think there is more interest here in Pittsburgh, and now it's up to the Pirates to give the fans reason to sustain that interest.
Hey, John, this was a pleasure. Really appreciate it. Great information as always, and just appreciate the time you gave us.
Oh, my pleasure, Steve. Thanks for having me on anytime.
That's great. We really enjoyed that. John, thanks so much. You know, John Parato, who covers the Pittsburgh Pirates. I know we do a lot on the Phillies, but you know what? Got to shift gears and go over to Pittsburgh once in a while. We're going to go from, I thought was a relatively optimistic report. Didn't you feel, Todd?
Well,
I thought John was realistic, but optimistic. We're going to go 180 of that. We got Matt Cotrello coming up. We're going to go into, well, probably depression is probably the best way to put it.
I don't know. It depends. I wonder what he's wound up about.
Well, for one thing, Quez Watkins is a Steeler.
Woohoo!
So, in other words, no, you should haul. Quez Watkins caught a preseason pass 2 years ago. You'd have thought Jerry Rice suddenly was in Philadelphia.
Is the next Mike Quick?
Oh, unbelievable! Oh, Mike Quick, I enjoy working with. So we're going to talk with Matt. As always, that will be a lot of listening on our part, don't you think?
Most likely.
Yeah. All right, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.